The following is a statement on the U.S.-NATO war in the Balkans from the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. This is part one. From the beginning of the war against Yugoslavia, we have said that the war had nothing to do with defending human rights and everything to do with carrying out the broad strategic aims of the U.S. and major European capitalist states. This has become more and more clear. Economic and political developments in the world over the past 30 years have resulted in stunning changes. The fundamental underlying change which is driving all others is the tremendous advances in electronic technology and the growing application of that technology to the process of production. This technology is steadily replacing labor in the workplace, creating a new global class of permanently unemployed and underemployed, and driving down the wages of those workers who remain employed. The advent of this new technology has produced a global economic crisis, which is shattering and transforming all the existing social and political institutions and relationships. It is this new technology and the resulting social and political changes that yielded, among other things, the breakup of the former Soviet Union and the end of the Cold War. The new technology, the rise of a global economy, the end of the Cold War, and the virtual collapse of the Soviet Union as an economic power, and the growing economic importance of China have combined to cut the ground from under all the previous existing international relationships. The new situation has opened up all sorts of new necessities and opportunities for the U.S. capitalists in particular. The ultimate aim of the U.S. ruling class is permanent global domination. The U.S. at this point is the most economically and militarily powerful nation on Earth. Its sophisticated military technology, combined with the sheer size and reach of its military, as well as its economic power, puts the U.S. in a position to seemingly dictate terms to the world. The war against Yugoslavia is the culmination of a more than 10-year process of breaking up the country, which was fomented, aided, and abetted by the U.S., Germany, and other European powers. The occupation and the political and economic control of the Balkans is part of a larger strategy which involves destroying all remaining vestiges of socialism, encircling and containing Russia, and securing control of the wealth of Central Asia. The control of oil has always been a key aspect of U.S. strategy. Controlling oil is key to controlling the world, and to this end, the U.S. seeks to control the Middle East and the oil and gas reserves of Central Asia's Caspian Basin. Toward this end, the U.S. seeks to create an arc of predominantly Muslim states under Turkish U.S. leadership and control. Among others, Edward Djerian, former U.S. ambassador to Syria and Israel, has described the basis for such a strategy, which actually has its roots in the Bush administration. In a 1995 article, he wrote that a coherent policy framework toward Islam has become a compelling need as foreign policy challenges erupt involving an arc of crisis extending from the Balkans, the Caucasus, North Africa, the Middle East, and Central and South Asia. The United States must recognize that this disturbing proliferation of local and regional conflicts in the arc threaten major, even vital, U.S. interests. Underscoring the importance of the interests of the United States and the industrialized democracies is the critical geographical factor that in the arc of crisis are located vast oil and natural gas reserves and points of pipeline delivery. The arc is home to approximately three-quarters of the world's oil and gas reserves. We must take into consideration the impact conflicts in this region have on energy supply, energy security and pricing. Indeed, we recently fought a war in the Persian Gulf to reverse aggression and protect precisely such interests. As we look ahead into the 21st century, energy needs will increase, especially as countries such as China and India proceed with their economic development. Dr. Sean Gervasi has also written on this strategy. In a 1996 paper, Gervasi said that the United States is now seeking to consolidate a new European Middle Eastern bloc of nations. It is presenting itself as the leader of an informal grouping of Muslim countries stretching from the Persian Gulf into the Balkans. This grouping includes Turkey, which is of pivotal importance in the emerging new bloc. Turkey is not just a part of the southern Balkans and an Aegean power. It also borders on Iraq, Iran, and Syria. It thus connects southern Europe to the Middle East, where the U.S. considers that it has vital interests. The U.S. hopes to expand this informal alliance with Muslim states in the Middle East and Southern Europe to include some of the new nations of the southern rim of the former Soviet Union. The reasons are not far to seek. The U.S. now conceives of itself as being engaged in a new race for world resources. Oil is especially important in this race. A statement on the U.S.-NATO war in the Balkans by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. Lerna can be contacted at 773-486-3551. I'm Mike Thornton. Part 2 of Lerna's statement in 3, 2, 1. This is part 2 of a two-part statement on the U.S.-NATO war in the Balkans from the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. With the war against Iraq, the U.S. established itself in the Middle East more securely than ever, and almost simultaneously the disintegration of the Soviet Union opened the possibility of Western exploitation of the oil resources in the Caspian Sea region. We are seeing the U.S. strategy played out through the enlargement of NATO, bringing it right up to the borders of the former Soviet Union with the addition of Poland, Hungary, and the Czech Republic. We are seeing it in the use of NATO forces outside NATO's traditional area of operations as an offensive force. We are seeing it in the conquest of the Balkans, thus securing the southern flank of Russia and the southern anchor of the arc of Muslim states that leads into Central Asia. We are seeing it in the fact that the U.S. has already conducted joint military exercises with nations in Central Asia that are former Soviet republics, bringing them into the Partnership for Peace, a prelude to full NATO membership. We are seeing it in the fact that U.S. and European oil companies have already negotiated deals with the governments of the Central Asian republics. It should also be clear that the U.S. strategy is no less directed at Western Europe than the rest of the world. The U.S. wants a Western Europe that is dependent on and takes direction from the U.S. The war has set several precedents. U.S. Senator Frank Lautenberg spelled one of them out explicitly in a recent interview when he said, in essence, that if you violate human rights, even in your own country, we can and will intervene. This clearly is going to be the rationale for future interventions and sets the stage for U.S. intervention virtually anywhere in the world. The U.S. is increasingly being postured as the world policeman for human rights, democracy, and prosperity. Read Capitalism. Another precedent is the use of NATO as an offensive alliance and to give cover to U.S. aggression. A third precedent is a war-fighting strategy that involves the destruction of the target country's economic infrastructure, rendering it militarily weak and economically dependent on its enemy. Finally, the U.S. action is circumventing and manipulating the United Nations and has essentially rendered the U.N. impotent as an international organization. The repeated military interventions by the U.S. in recent years have had the effect of getting the population used to war and of putting the country and the economy increasingly on a war footing. If we assume the aim of the U.S. is global domination, then it follows that the U.S. must either bribe, intimidate, or destroy any potential rivals. Thus, we see the U.S. using its control of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund as part of the process of asserting economic control of target countries. In this same vein, we see the U.S. on a course toward war with China. China resists becoming economically dependent on the U.S. and over the next 15 to 20 years will surpass the U.S. economically and militarily. We are already seeing a military and propaganda campaign designed to bully, isolate, and provoke China. This has included the bombing of the Chinese embassy in Belgrade, the allegations of Chinese involvement in financing U.S. political campaigns, the espionage allegations, human rights issues, Taiwan, Tibet, etc. It is not far-fetched to speculate that at least a section of U.S. capital might favor a preemptive attack on China sometime in the future to cripple its military and industrial base, and surely Russia must at some point be forced to respond to U.S. provocations, although it may be many years before it has the economic and military wherewithal to do so. Speculation aside, there is no doubt that the U.S. offensive directly contradicts the interests of the great mass of humanity, including the vast majority of Americans, and thus poses a threat to world peace. There is no question but that, one way or another, the capitalists have once again set humanity on the path to world war. The risk of nuclear war is rising. In the space of 79 days, 23 million pounds of explosives were dropped on Yugoslavia. This figure is equivalent to almost two-thirds the power of the Hiroshima bomb. What was done to Yugoslavia should make clear to any thinking person how ruthless and without scruples this ruling class is, and what they have in store for anyone who gets in their way, including Americans. Nonetheless, it is already clear the U.S.-NATO invasion of the Balkans is yielding unforeseen consequences. There will likely be ongoing war as the Yugoslavs resist the occupiers, and the invasion is exacerbating class polarities and the developing class struggle worldwide. Great forces have been unleashed, both by objective economic developments, which are undermining all the old relations, and by the subjective political and military acts of the U.S. and others. The whole of humanity is facing dark and difficult times, yet what we are really seeing is the death throes of a dying capitalist system. It is imperative for revolutionaries to act, to play their role of educating people and raising consciousness. The program of the bourgeoisie is increasingly clear: war abroad and fascism at home. The revolutionaries have the moral high ground. We can show the capitalist wars of destruction are part of the process of capitalism destroying itself. We can show where this system is headed and why it has to be replaced with a cooperative system before it destroys us all. We can offer a vision of the world that the new technology has made possible, a vision of humanity organized in peaceful, prosperous, cooperative societies in a world without poverty, repression, or war. A statement on the U.S.-NATO war in the Balkans by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. Lerna can be contacted at 773-486-3551. I'm Mike Thornton.